Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
It's a pleasure to have you with us today. Thank you very much for joining us. We're live worldwide on CUTV News Radio. It is 1 p.m. Eastern at the Broadcast Center, and it is June 11th, 2019. Always a pleasure to have you with us today. It's always a pleasure to have Dr. Paul Pierce joining us as well, scientist, entrepreneur. He is the director and President CEO of Nova Biologicals, based in Conroe, Texas, which is in the greater Houston area. I had an opportunity to visit the incredible facility last fall to see it up close and personal, and the amazing work they're doing that really impacts positively the lives of all of us, testing our water, our air, our food, our medicines, our medical devices, and so much more. You know, he's been successful for many reasons, and it starts with his technical abilities as a scientist, fascinated by microbes, but he brings many other skills to his work. He also possesses business acumen, entrepreneurial vision, and a passion for humanity. Dr. Pierce is really incredible, and he's on the forefront of the work that he does. And he and his team of scientists enjoy more than a challenge, and they're always getting involved in new projects. Sometimes those come from the recommendations of a thoroughly satisfied client. Sometimes it is a matter of following their great instincts. As we've been continuing this exclusive radio series on CUTV News Radio Live, Dr. Pierce has been discussing some of the initiatives, such as one aimed at stemming the transfer of microbes and so much more, which has been a problem which we've talked about involving cruise lines and so much more. Another cutting-edge initiative he's been talking about is related to sterility of stem cells proposed as non-surgical alternatives to treat rotator cuff problems, which is really amazing. I was just in California interviewing a stem cell therapy and regenerative medicine physician, and that really is an incredible topic when you're talking about stem cells. The company Nova Biologicals is a heavily regulated business, of course, committed to the strictest standards. And Dr. Pierce believes that they're really uniquely positioned. They really are to not only help all of us, but also hospitals and medical equipment manufacturers and more to meet the regulatory standards and answer to authorities like the EPA or FDA as well. We're continuing our exclusive series here on CUTV News Radio Live, and by doing that, we're going to welcome our very special guest, Dr. Paul Pierce, back to CUTV News Radio. Now, on June 4th, we talked about food manufacturing and foodborne illnesses as well, and I think we're going to continue in that vein. Might sprinkle in a little about measles and germs and immune compromised as well. However, we're going to continue the conversation about the food manufacturing and foodborne illnesses and more with Dr. Paul Pierce. Dr. Pierce, thanks for joining us here live on CUTV News Radio. It is a pleasure to have you with us today.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's a real pleasure for me to be here today and discuss some of the topics that are really in the forefront of many people's minds and how to deal with microbiological germ type of issues and problems that confront us every single day. So it's always a pleasure to visit with you and talk about these things and hopefully provide some good information for your listeners. So I'm excited about today.
And you do it. Yeah, you do that so well in terms of providing important and vital information to our listeners. And you've been teaching us so much in these weeks about the different microorganisms in our environment. And we've been taking a closer look at the area of focus, the food industry, regulated, of course, by the FDA. Let's talk a little bit more. I know you wanted to super serve this topic, which you had mentioned prior to us going live on the air, which is really talking about food safety. Explain for us, in case people were not with us previously, what the Food Safety Modernization Act actually is and how this has actually really created some amazing opportunities for you and for Nova Biologicals.
Well, thank you. I think that it is a very important topic, and it's becoming more and more important as our population grows and as we become more metropolitan, cosmopolitan, where we have so many people in close proximity and importing a lot of food and food products. But, you know, back in 2011, really 2010, so it's, my goodness, it's been almost 10 years now, but the concept of the Food Safety Modernization Act was introduced at the federal government level with the intent of helping to strengthen the U.S. food safety system. And fundamentally, it's about stressing the strategies of prevention, preventing foodborne illness, more surveillance, more audits of food processing facilities, food processing plants, packaging plants, farms, growers, what they say, they use the term from farm to fork, everything that is involved in the delivery of food is part of the Food Safety Modernization Act. And then on top of that, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services are focusing on better responding or responding more quickly, responding better to outbreaks of foodborne illness, and then helping people or helping communities recover from these outbreaks. So it's a very far-reaching plan, modernization plan. Its acronym is FSMA, Food Safety Modernization Act. But FSMA is very far-reaching, and it touches everything associated with the delivery of food and food services to the American people. And it's a very complex issue, but it comes down to how do we work together to prevent these foodborne illnesses that seem to be popping up more and more regularly than ever before. So fundamentally, though, it's designed, the Food Safety Modernization Act is designed to prevent foodborne illness. And so that's really what the act is all about. And then once you do a deep dive into all of the intricacies or the not so small aspects of the food chain in our country, then you look at everything from restaurants to food packaging companies to farmers to importers to anyone who has anything to do with our food supply in the U.S. The Modernization Act is designed to help prevent outbreaks of foodborne illness. So it's a new deal. In fact, 2020, there's some new aspects to the Food Safety Modernization Act that will even have more of an impact on trying to prevent and respond to foodborne disease outbreaks. So it's getting a foothold. The act is getting a foothold in the U.S. and we'll be seeing more regulations a good example. There'd be more opportunities for us, NOVA, because of the need for testing of food for the presence of disease organism. In fact, I just had a call this morning from a company out of Michigan that wants us to be involved in some of their testing of their food processing facilities, being able to monitor or being able to test these facilities to make sure that there are no disease-causing microorganisms within their facilities. So that's probably one of the better examples of how this act affects us. We do the testing. We test for sanitary conditions in food processing plants and, you know, trucking companies, railroad cars, tracking down, trying to identify those areas where there might be contaminants or might be bacteria, germs that create a health hazard. So, say the whole process is beginning to get ramped up and become more far-reaching in every aspect of the food chain. So it's unfortunate we have these outbreaks, but I'm pleased that we're able to help so many of the food processors and food handlers, particularly in our part of the state, with establishing methods and procedures and processes that help prevent these foodborne illnesses.
You know, what I think is great, too, that people should realize is that your firm, that Nova Biologicals, doesn't just supply lab results. You don't just do all the work and the testing and then say, okay, here you go. You're on your own. Do with it what you will. But you also provide practical, useful, and vital advice as well. What are some of those checkpoints that might be instituted to help stem the transfer of dangerous microorganisms? And it is true, right? You offer advice as much as you do the actual testing. So Nova Biologicals really is a 360 full service organization.
You know, that's a great question, really good observation as it relates to testing services and being able to help our customer to be able to help those people that we work for, because the testing of food and the testing of the food processing environment is one thing. And we can do that, and we can say, okay, you've got certain microorganisms, certain germs that need to be addressed, that need to be cleaned up, need to be sanitized, need to be killed. And if we can't help them identify where those organisms are coming from, where those germs are coming from, then we really haven't done our job to the best of our ability. So when we get a certain result, let's say, well, I'll give you an example. We had a sample this morning that was contaminated with a particular type of harmful bacteria. And rather than just saying, well, you've got this bacteria, go figure out what to do with it, we always include in our reports and our consultations, well, here's where the bacteria probably came from. Here's the best way to eliminate it or to prevent it from creating a problem in your facility. And then we talk about all the aspects of the food handling system. And, you know, in these, if there's any restaurateurs or food processors that might be listening, they are familiar with what they call a HACCP plan, a hazard analysis and critical control point plan that helps define those areas that are most likely to create a problem within a food handling situation. And so these HACCP plans or these critical control point plans are those areas that we typically collect samples from. If there's a plumbing system that transfers food product, or if there's a conveyor belt that conveys food products to another part of a plant, then of a food processing plant, then our job is to help them identify where these germs came from and then develop ways to combat those germs. So it's as we've talked about several times in our previous programs, those germs are tenacious. They want to be alive just as much as we do. And so they develop all sorts of mechanisms to be resistant to cleaning and be resistant to elimination, being resistant to being killed. So the key thing for us is being a service-minded organization that not only does the testing, but also provides the technical support, the scientific support, the medical support for situations where the bad actors have been detected. So it's a real challenge. It's a lot of fun. It's very rewarding because we can identify some problem pretty early if we just know that there's an indicator that there's a problem. So that's one of the things that we're proud of, that we like to do, and that we really like to work with our customers and the public to help them avoid foodborne illness.
Absolutely. Is it me, or does it seem like oftentimes some of the same foods tend to be contaminated or have issues, like we've gone through certain, or is it maybe just cyclical or just a freak of nature? Like, there's been multiple times in recent years where romaine lettuce has been a tremendous issue. Baby foods, you know, different things, but especially things like romaine lettuce and things of that nature. When you hear things like that, what does that spark for you? Is it like cause you to dig deeper to say, you know, why is it that something like romaine lettuce keeps popping up as something that's having contamination? Or why is it that this other type of food is repetitively having issues? Is that something that sparks further investigation and study by you and the team?
Well, it does, as a matter of fact. It's let's pick an example here. The romaine lettuce can be contaminated with E. coli. Let's use that as an example. Well, when you start looking at, okay, where do you grow romaine lettuce? Now, of course, it's grown in the soil, and it's grown using water from a particular source. And then once it's grown, then it's processed in a certain way. And that processing many times does not really remove the contaminating bacteria. You know, you would expect some E. coli to be in the soil. It's got fertilizer in it. It's got manure in it. It's got chemical fertilizers involved in the growing process. So it's not uncommon, or it would not be unreasonable to think that, okay, E. coli will be associated with the growing of romaine lettuce. Well, the challenge comes, the way it grows, it has that, the leafy vegetable, it has all sorts of places for bacteria to hide. And when it hides, when those bacteria hide, and then it's run through a processing facility, that processing facility, if it's not very careful and not very carefully controlled, then those E. coli are not killed. They're not removed. And then you have the problem with a foodborne outbreak. And so it comes down to, you can't process certain types of food, let's say romaine lettuce, you can't process it in the same way that you process a watermelon or that you process rhubarb. They're different types of edible substances, but they all have a different look. They all grow a little bit differently, and they all have their characteristics that make them more difficult to disinfect, more difficult to clean up. We run into that quite often, and have helped food processing plants develop sanitizing procedures for food, primarily fruits and vegetables, to effectively remove those contaminants, kill those contaminants. So it's a challenge. It's a day-to-day challenge, and you have to know every single detail of the process in order to be the most helpful.
And leading us into the fact that, as we're discussing, we're always hearing about food contamination recalls, especially in the news frequently in the last few years. How big of a threat would you say it is, and how is Nova Biological sort of improving the odds through its quantitative PCR testing?
Well, you know, PCR testing, that's a good question, because PCR testing is a new, fairly new technology that allows us to detect the genetic material within a sample, and that genetic material is tied directly to a particular type of germ. And so it provides an opportunity to be a faster test result as compared to a culture where you actually do bacteriological or germ cultures to detect a particular organism. So instead of looking for the entire bug, the entire germ, we're looking for the genetic fragments that identify that germ or that bug as being there. So it improves the turnaround time. It allows the farm or the processor to more readily respond to or more quickly respond to the problem that a positive PCR result will give them. It saves them several days in terms of knowing what the problem, that particular problem is. The thing, and this is something I think that the listeners should really remember, is that in the U.S., there are 48 million cases of foodborne illness every year. 48 million cases of foodborne illness every year. And so that means that one out of every six Americans each year develops some foodborne illness, whether it's an E. coli or whether it's a salmonella or a listeria or a clostridia or a norovirus, whatever it is, that is a lot of illness. And it not only is obviously harmful to our health, our national health, but it's also a great burden on our healthcare system because of the cost involved with just recovering from a disease that is preventable. So it kind of throws us back to the Food Safety Modernization Act. That's one of the primary purposes, is to prevent these types of foodborne illnesses from occurring. So it's just a big challenge. Yeah. It just covers a lot of things, many different organisms. Yeah.
And like with anything, as you're saying, prevention is key. If there's ways that this information can get out there in the way that you're presenting it, prevention is definitely an essential part of the equation. It's like that with anything in healthcare. You know, if you can prevent illness, you can prevent problems. It's essential. It's always better. It keeps costs down and keeps you healthier and so much more. You know, listeria is something that we've heard talked about a lot too. And if listeners are listening now saying, well, gee, you know, I hear so much about listeria, tell us first what it is, how you can contract it, and what would be the first steps to finding more information about it?
Well, listeria is a germ. It's a bacteria. It is, its scientific name is Listeria monocytogenes. And it's a type of bacteria that is most often contracted by eating contaminated produce. We see it periodically with raspberries or certain types of lettuce or certain types of unpasteurized milk or soft cheeses. Some of the ready-to-eat deli meats will be contaminated with listeria. There's a lot of problems if you get a listeria infection, but one is that it treats you like the flu. When you first get a listeria infection, it feels like you have the flu. You have a fever, muscle aches, nausea, diarrhea, just don't feel good. You're just punked out. And so it makes it a very debilitating type disease. But what makes listeria the real problem is that if it's not treated effectively very early on, then it can lead to things like premature delivery, stillbirth, premature delivery of babies, stillbirth, and really damage to a whole host of people. So it's kind of a tricky disease in that you'll get sick pretty quick with a gastrointestinal problem when you get listeria, but sometimes it'll take 6 weeks for you to develop a systemic or an invasive type disease with listeria. So you may feel bad for a few days, and then you get to feeling a little bit better, and then you get the systemic infection, and that's a real problem. That's very difficult to treat, and can be very damaging and harmful to people who are old or older, who are young, or have some sort of compromised immune system. You know, it's probably right here. It might be a good note to people listening is, you know, in our healthcare system, people are being discharged from hospitals and from healthcare facilities, what they call sicker and quicker. And so if an individual is sick in the hospital, then they have to be discharged because for a number of reasons, but they're discharged quicker and they may not have fully recovered from whatever they were in the hospital with. Well, that, when you're sick like that and still not feeling 100%, and you run across one of these or you contract one of these bacteria like Listeria or E. coli or certain types of staph, then your problems are just much more severe. So it makes it very important to prevent exposure to contaminated food. And so those of us who are responsible for caring for patients who are coming out of the hospital, then we need to be very conscious about the type of food that those we care for eat and are exposed to. So that's a bigger challenge now because we have so many patients who are coming out of healthcare facilities and they become exposed to these microorganisms that at one point would not have been a problem for them. But now they are because they were discharged sicker and quicker. So it's just kind of a heads up out there to understand that these bugs are still there. They are out there and they're in the food we eat, the water we drink, and those things that we cook with and that we bathe with. So these microorganisms can create real problems for those people who are, I like to use the term, the very young, the very old, and the immune compromised, those who have pre-existing immune problems. So, so it's just it's kind of a warning, I guess. Just be aware that if you're kind of down anyway, then make sure that you're preparing your food and your water appropriately.
I heard something recently. Now they're saying that they advise against washing chicken before you cook it. Have you heard that recently?
I have heard that.
They used to say wash the chickens. Now they're saying don't. Yeah. That can get confusing sometimes too, I guess, for the consumer because, you know, sometimes things change rapidly with new findings.
Yeah. Right. Well, the thing with washing, it's like, you know, we found out a long time ago that we ask people to wash their hands. You know, if you work in a hospital or work in a doctor's office, they say, wash your hands. Well, most people don't know what that really is. You know, how do you effectively wash your hands? And the same thing would apply when you say, don't wash your chickens. Well, previously you said, wash your chickens. My theory is, and what I've read a little bit about, is that when you wash a chicken and you don't wash it effectively, then all you've done is spread any particular contaminant over the entire chicken. And so it just creates a bigger area that's been contaminated with a potentially harmful bacteria like Salmonella or E. coli or Campylobacter. And so the washing may be just a way, if it's not done properly, it's just a way to spread the germs over the entire chicken instead of just in a one particular area. So, and that brings us back to the point
all,
that when you're cooking chicken, make sure that you cook it to the right temperature.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
All vital and incredible advice. Advice we can all apply, you know, in our own lives on a daily basis, Doctor. Thanks for sharing all of this with us as we focused today on this particular episode on food manufacturing and foodborne illnesses, which is prevalent in our society. It does affect all of us. It's very important to be ahead of the game and to be a step ahead. I know you are as much as possible. So, again, as I always say, thanks for all the incredible work you're doing because it's for the greater good of us all. And on the next show, on the 18th, measles, germs, and immune compromised will be the topic. So I invite guests and listeners to tune in to that episode as well. Dr. Pierce, thanks for joining us on the program. It was another riveting episode, an informative episode. We really, really appreciate it. And look forward to the next episode coming up on June 18th as well.
Very good. Well, thank you very much. I enjoy these conversations. So best wishes for our great summer.
Absolutely. We do as well. And I want to just make mention, if folks want to learn more about Nova Biologicals, which is your outstanding company, they can go to Nova, that's NovaTX.com. That's NovaTX.com. And I've personally been there and I've toured the facility. We did a sit-down interview. It really is fascinating and so vital, the work that Dr. Pierce and his team are doing at Nova Biologicals. Thanks again, Dr. Pierce. You have a wonderful day. Looking forward to the next episode, and enjoy the rest of your week as well. Thanks for being on the show.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Talk to you next
week. All right. You take care. You got it. Jim Masters here, CU TV News Radio Live. Thank you for joining us as well. Hope you enjoyed this particular episode. Again, NovaTX.com is the website. For all of us here at CU TV News Radio Live, thanks for being with us. Stay tuned. More great episodes of our broadcast series coming up in just a moment. Till then, the entire team, have a terrific day from all of us at CU TV News Radio. Bye for now.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.